Welcome to Conversations and with John and Lisa. And Lisa's not here, but her firstborn.
I'm basically half of Lisa.
Firstborn is here. You're half Lisa and half me, I guess.
I'm half Lisa, so.
Yeah, you're a much better improved version. I really wish I was as smart as you, as together as you, as good as dad as you are when I was 30 years old.
You are a typical parent, and I love that about you.
How is that? What are you saying?
I wrote an essay on that in school about the way parents see their children.
Okay.
It really is special. Well, they see them in the best possible way they could be. And that's awesome. We all need someone like that in our lives who sees us,
you know, Lisa
as our best.
Lisa and I were on the phone just 2 days ago, and I brought it up. I said, Lisa, we have four of the most amazing sons. She says it to me all the time, too. But I just said, I am so in awe of the character of Christ in each of our sons. They are uniquely gifted and strengthened in all different areas. So we just thank God for you, and that's why I love having you on this program. I want people to hear your voice. I want them to hear your wisdom, because the way I describe Addison is he's 30 going on 50 in wisdom. And hey, I'm, you know, 57. I hope I'm not 57 going on 20 in wisdom. So anyway, no, I'm joking.
Well, I love you, Dad. Thank
anyway,
you.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here on the program with you. And so listen, in my spirit, I don't feel like we completely covered what we should have covered last week in talking about the elections. Because
sure.
I still think, even though we're in December now, or close to December, we're a couple days away, it's still a very sore subject. So let's go to the root of all of this. It's offense.
It is. And people have good reason to be offended.
Correct.
They do.
You can be 100% right, but be wrong.
That's right. So why don't you talk about the two reasons why people get offended? Or I should say the two major categories of events.
There are people that have been genuinely mistreated, and then there's people that think they have been mistreated. Now, the second category, the people that think they have been mistreated, have inaccurate information, or they have accurate information and have discerned inaccurately.
Right.
And I believe what has happened is, first of all, you covered it so well last week. We are, first of all, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And second of all, we're citizens of the United States. And third, we're either Democratic or Republican. But what happens is we believe that because our party didn't get in or the person we wanted didn't get in, we were mistreated. We're not mistreated. And if we expect to be mistreated, that's a wrong attitude to have. I mean, can we stop and think about Joseph? I mean, Joseph, these are his own brothers. And they you know, God says, I'm gonna use you in leadership. Your brothers will even follow your leadership. And yet they throw him into a pit, leave him there for dead. Then they think they can make money off of him by selling him as a slave. And then he goes into slavery for 10 years in Egypt. His father's forgotten him. His brothers have long forgotten about him and happy that he's gone. He's been stripped of his inheritance. He's going to be a slave the rest of his life. His wife's going to be a slave. His children are going to be a slave, all because of what his brothers did to him. And then he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into a dungeon. So now think about his life. God gives him a vision. He ends up in a pit. He ends up in slavery for 10 years. He ends up not even flirting, resisting her every day. I mean, how many people would pass that, Addison? I mean, you've been a slave for 10 years. You're forgotten about, and yet you're being petitioned by a seductive woman every single day. And yet every day he says no, no, no.
Right.
I mean, he never lost his fear of God.
And we know the ending of the story. Joseph didn't. It would have been easy for Joseph to lose hope. And once you lose hope, you lose any kind of drive. So for him to be able to keep that drive in the midst of what he was going through,
he had a heavenly vision.
He had a heavenly vision. He had a sense of hope that
couldn't
be shaken.
So then he gets thrown in the dungeon. And what I love is the greatest test of his fear of God happens in that dungeon. God brings two men that have just had dreams to him, the butler and the baker. And if Joseph would have been like many today, he would have looked at them and said, oh, you had a dream? You had a dream last night? I had a dream once. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, don't
because
pay any attention to
I had
dreams.
A dream 11 years ago, 10, 11, or 12 years ago, we don't know the timing on it, that I would be a leader, my brothers would serve me, and I'm left in this dungeon to rot. Just leave me alone. That's where character comes in. That's what changes our nation.
Yeah.
is when we have people that can live like that, that can be mistreated, yet say, God is my defense. I mean, Jesus is standing in a courtroom of law, the highest courtroom in the nation. It's the Supreme Court. And Pilate is sitting there hearing these influential men in the nation say lies about him, nothing but lies. And Pilate knows they're not true. And Jesus doesn't answer one thing because he's like, my father's going to defend me.
Yeah.
You know, and then finally Pilate says, hey, what's going on? Don't you hear what they're saying about you? Don't you understand? You're about to be condemned. Aren't you going to defend yourself? And Jesus still doesn't answer nothing. So that Pilate marvels. Why? Because Jesus knew his father would defend him. And if we look at all the injustices that are done with believers, if we as believers commit our situation into the hands of God, then God says, I will judge righteously.
Yeah.
And I want to say
that. And he has the full picture.
He has the full picture.
He has the full picture.
So to every one of you out there, because I felt like we put a bow on this package last week. Here's your bow, okay? I'm going to wrap this up, put a bow on it for you. If you're a Christian, you feel like you have gotten injustice because of leaders, because of political parties or this, why don't you commit your case into the hand of God and watch God promote you? Because what God did is he said, because of that, he highly exalted Jesus. Peter said, the reason you have been insulted, the reason you have been mistreated is because God is setting you up for a blessing.
Yeah.
So there's not, now I want you to listen to me. Non-Christians, this doesn't apply to. So if you're not a believer in Jesus, you got to kind of just, you know, and you don't want to be a believer in Jesus, don't listen to what I'm saying right now. But if you're a believer in Jesus, any mistreatment you go through, any injustice that you suffer, God will turn it into a blessing if you keep the right attitude. Now,
He'll redeem it.
And no, not only will he redeem it, he will bless you.
Yeah.
He will bring in a blessing, a bonus. And that's promised. And go read it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3. It's right there. And if you want to see it even more spelled out, I wrote a book called How to Handle Unfair Treatment. That's the deal. And let me tell you how you mishandle, and that is you complain.
Yeah.
That is, and complaining is an insult to God. Did you ever wonder why the fifth one of the big five that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land, the fifth one was complaining? Why does God hate complaining? Notice my word. I didn't say God dislikes complaining. Why does God hate complaining? Because complaining says to God, I don't like what you're doing right now, and if I were you, I would do it differently. It's an insult to his character. So we don't complain. We say, because the Bible says those that are in office have been appointed by God. Okay? It says it right there in Romans chapter 13.
Yeah.
Okay, there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Well, you're probably saying right now, well, wait a minute. Authorities do mean, cruel, horrible things. Well, yeah, God doesn't author their behavior, but he does assign their position.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, if you are mistreated by an authority, God says, and it's right there in the Word, and I've got it spelled out in Beta Satan, I've got it spelled out in How to Handle Mistreatment, two books, God says, you're going to get blessed if you handle it correctly. You know, I'll tell a story about a guy that he was a businessman, and this is a quick story because it illustrates the point. He owned a specialized fountain company where they made fountains for landscaping, and they were in South Florida, and he had made some specialized fountains for the largest landscaping company in all of South Florida. And they owed him $117,000. They weren't paying it. He was so mad. He was complaining to his employees, complaining to his family members. And then he heard me speak on what I'm speaking on right now. And he said, when I heard it, I realized, oh my goodness, I'm handling this thing totally incorrect. So he went and he repented to his employees. He said, I have complained about this company. He repented to his family. And then he drove 30 minutes to meet with the owner of that landscape company, the largest landscaping company in South Florida. And he said to him, I'm sorry. I've spoken evil about you to my employees, about to my family. I'm wrong. God's convicted me. Please forgive me. And this guy wasn't even a Christian. He says, I don't even think he was a Christian. And he was like, okay. And he said, you know what? You owe me $117,000. You just pay me whenever you want, and you just send me what you think our work was worth. Well, he said, John, a week later, I got a check for $11,000.
Wow.
And so right there you go, see? See, it just doesn't work. Now, wait a minute. Wait until you hear what he said next. He said next, he said, 2 weeks later, I got the largest contract my company has ever gotten before. And it was for $2.5 million. And he said, 6 weeks after that, I got a $7 million contract.
Wow.
That's mind blowing. So what happened? He stopped his complaining. He stopped his griping. He set himself up to be blessed. And many times, who God blesses you through will not be the person who's mistreated you. Matter of fact, most of the times. And so it wasn't Joseph's brothers who blessed him.
No, it wasn't.
It was Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Pharaoh's the one that gave him, you know, the new home and all the responsibility and the positions. And yet Joseph turned around and blessed his brothers. And Joseph didn't lose his fear of God. So let me tell you something, folks. You're probably upset, maybe still a residual upsetness about this election. Let's turn this whole perspective. Let's turn it around. This is your opportunity to get blessed. You can position yourself by saying, God, I didn't vote for this candidate, whether it's on a national, state, or local level, but I'm going to pray for him or her passionately.
That's right.
Well, you're setting yourself up to be blessed.
That's right. And we also have to remember that God's more concerned about our character than he is the results.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Because he will use the results to perform his will in our lives. And ultimately, it's our character that we take with us through every season. This president will come and go.
Yep.
But the character that God is forming in our lives through this process, we're going to have with us forever. And so, as we were talking about with the Driven by Eternity series, it's all about perspective. Are we going to use this as an opportunity to invest in the people around us, to invest this heavenly perspective? Or are we going to be focused on the things that we would do differently or that we don't like about the candidates that are now in office and breed division and discord, which isn't going to help anyone?
And can I say one more added benefit? I'm going to go ahead with a president in the past and step out on a limb. I did not vote for President Bill Clinton. So I'm going way back to, I think 1992 is when this was. I don't know. It was around there. I didn't vote for him. And I remember when he got elected, I was depressed for 3 days until God spoke to me the third day and said, nobody gets into office without me knowing about it. Mm. Stop it. And he dealt with me. He said, John, you pray for your president. And I started praying for President Clinton. And Addison, I developed a passionate love for that man.
Yeah.
A man who I absolutely despised. And I'll be honest with you, I despised him. I couldn't stand even look at him on the TV. I developed such a love for him by praying for him. And so that's the added benefit. Not only do you set yourself personally up for a blessing, you get the benefit of now you love your enemies.
Right.
You passionately love your enemies.
And that's what it's all about. That's what the Bible tells us to do, to pray for our enemies.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us to pray for our family. It tells us to pray for our enemies.
I know. Jesus didn't say pray for your mom and dad. He said pray for your enemies.
Pray for your enemies.
Pray for those that mistreat you.
Why? Because God does something supernatural in our lives. We pray for our enemies.
So, Father, right now we pray for President Obama. We thank you so much for him, for Vice President Joe Biden, for all the Republican senators and the Democratic senators, who, Lord, we don't see as Republican and Democrat as we come before your throne. We see them as men and women that you've entrusted a great amount of responsibility to. We pray for every House of Representatives. We pray for the Supreme Court judges. Now we pray for every circuit court judge, for the governors, for the mayors, the council members of our land. We pray, Lord, that they would fear God, that they would hate covetousness, that they would rule with justice, and that they would make laws that, Lord God, would correspond with your ways and your word. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We pray for President-elect Donald Trump and for Vice President-elect Pence. We pray that, Lord, you would give them cabinet members and leadership members that will help our nation to get back on track to being a blessing to many nations, to being a nation that is blessed by God, where Jesus Christ is Lord and many will come to be saved. May we experience a great move of the Spirit of God over these next 4 years. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you everyone so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please take a little time out of your day to review the podcast on iTunes. We loved having you with us. Mr. Bevere, thank you for having me.
Been a pleasure.
It's always fun.